morning, Green Bay Packers fans. Welcome to Railbird Central on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're getting ready for Green Bay Packers training camp. And to do that, we have with us on the line, on the phone, a special guest this morning, Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Mr. Dunn, how are you doing this morning?
We're doing great, Brian. How's everything going on your end?
It's going very well. Now, Tyler, you were at the shareholders meeting yesterday. How'd it go?
I tell you what, it's we all know the Packers make a lot of money. We all know it's a unique team, a unique situation to have here. But well, when you see those numbers for a second time and you look around and there's 12,500 fans, I mean, it's something else. I mean, this team is financially in a pretty incredible spot right now, obviously made a lot of money, and it's something to see. I mean, and the construction's going well, those new video boards are really big, and I think that Tom Silverstein kind of hit it on the head in his story today. You know, what does Murphy kind of do with all this money? I mean, obviously, they have some renovations from the stock sale, but they kind of have the flexibility to sign the guys they need to do. Obviously, you got to stay under the cap, but financially, there really are no burdens for this team in general.
I agree. Do you think that Aaron Rodgers' contract is done after guys like Greg Jennings and Clay Matthews?
That's a good question. I think you really have to kind of handle Aaron Rodgers' contract soon. You know, he's your franchise player, and he's just grossly underpaid right now, especially in light of what Drew Brees got there. And I think the good parallel is, look what they did with Brett Favre back in 01 when they, you know, kind of tore up the last 3 years of his deal, got something done. They can do something with Aaron Rodgers right now. I think you have to take care of him, you know, maybe not this week, but fairly soon, because, you know, he's just very underpaid. I know he's got a few years left of his deal, but get him under contract for the long term here.
Mark Murphy made some interesting comments yesterday. His remarks, particularly on the 18-game enhanced season that's been proposed by people in the NFL, moving to preseason games to make them regular season games. Well, he doesn't want to see that. In fact, he wants to eliminate preseason games. What's your take on that? Do you think that's going to gain any traction? Because it seemed like the other way, they were gaining traction toward the 18-game season a while back.
Very true. I mean, he's really the first public voice from somebody pretty prominent in the NFL circles to come out and really have that opinion, at least as far as everything I've heard. So I think it is pretty significant that Mark Murphy said what he did. You know, obviously there's a lot of factors in the play here. The NFL is very financially driven. More games would lead to a lot more revenue here. But for a good 20, 25 minutes at his press conference, you know, Mark Murphy is constantly reiterating the need for player safety. He was lauding Roger Goodell for the way he handled the bounty case. He talked about, you know, the litigations, the lawsuits against the league, and, you know, that the league is doing everything they can to help out retired players. So if you're going to constantly reiterate that safety and say that is the number one emphasis for the league and put that up there on that new video board as, you know, the number one challenge looking ahead, it's just completely hypocritical to add games, to add more impact, more injuries to the schedule. So I think that, you know, he kind of realized in the moment there that it just doesn't make a lot of sense to add two more if this really is the focus for the league. And I think he probably has, you know, some other people in the league circles that would agree with him at this point. The league is a lot different right now than it was a year ago in terms of 2,000 players now filing lawsuits and in terms of this bounty case just blowing up.
Okay, let's talk about these lawsuits here for a second, too, because I personally kind of have an issue with all these concussion lawsuits against the NFL. I totally agree that there's things the NFL can do for retired players, for former players, in terms of health insurance, things like that. But I don't see lawsuits as the answer to this issue. It just seems to be driving a divide between the players in the NFL, and not a good one. I mean, is I don't know what I'm asking here. Is this becoming too violent a game? I think Mark Murphy compared, made reference to boxing and how that was so popular at one time, and now it's kind of lacking in popularity. So what are your impressions there?
Yeah, I think that, you know, the parallel, I don't know if it works or not. I don't think football would ever become boxing, but it was interesting that he said that. Yeah, it is something that Mark Murphy, a retired player himself, he said that he's even getting emails and letters from attorneys asking him to join the lawsuits, and I think he used the word shameless with it, and I guess it is kind of shameless when basically they're reaching out to any retired players who may have health issues and trying to, you know, add on to this list. I mean, it really has gained a lot of traction. There's a lot behind it, and it's kind of taken on to a whole new level here. But I do think that there is a little substance behind it, too. There are a lot of players who have left the game and have just struggled immensely with life after football, and financially have not gotten the help they probably should have gotten. So I do still think that the league needs to do something. Should there be 2,000 players kind of leading this brigade? I don't know. I mean, there's got to be some type of solution here. Because, look, the league is making a lot of money. The Green Bay Packers are making a lot of money, as we see here. There's got to be some better system in place to help guys afterwards. I know they have the Legacy Fund now, but, you know, you have to be aware, and it kind of has to trickle in with the current players in the league and the guys afterwards.
Did it surprise you yesterday to see the reception Ted Thompson got, the applause, the chants of "We love Ted"? That wasn't happening in 2008.
Oh my gosh. I remember, I don't know if you were there in 2008, but just being out there as an intern at the time. And remember they brought Ted Thompson into the atrium where he could kind of, you know, mingle with fans and shareholders. And it was just a disaster. I mean, he had people coming up to him with a petition to bring Brett Favre back. They're heckling him. They're surrounding him. I mean, he was public enemy number one then. And, you know, I remember last year writing the story that, you know, here they were chanting "We love Ted" last year, too. I mean, it's a complete 180. It's really remarkable that the GM of this team has just gone through this entire transformation in shareholders' minds to be hated like he was in 2008 and beloved like he is now. It's really unbelievable. I guess when you win a Super Bowl ring, it just changes perception. It changes everything.
Ted Thompson said yesterday, the Packers are not going to be the youngest team in the NFL. Well, they had been the youngest team in the NFL for some time now. Maybe not the youngest, but they've been among the youngest in the NFL, and now they're not going to be. I mean, does the complexion of this team appear to be changing, that they're getting away, perhaps, of keeping all these rookies and getting a more veteran core on the team?
I think so, a little bit, possibly. I still look at this team as pretty young and a team that really does value youth still. I mean, you look back at last year, who would have thought they would have kept three undrafted guys on the roster with a team that just won a Super Bowl? So I still think that Ted Thompson likes to stay young, and that's just kind of a product of guys getting a little older. That core, like you said, getting a little older, and obviously they are kind of up with their contracts here, too. Guys like Lane, Jennings, Rogers, you know, Matthews, and a lot of these guys are getting a little older. So that's what they have to deal with now. You know, what order do you try to re-sign these guys? Because they are still really young, but they are kind of, you know, getting a little experienced.
Wrapping up here, if I could ask you one more question, Ty, before we let you go. Today, Mike McCarthy holds a press conference, and before that, the Packers are holding their physicals. And I think, you know, there's going to kind of be some attention today, and maybe the players who were on injured reserve last year, guys like Alex Green, Derek Sherrod, Andrew Corliss, guys who may or may not pass this physical. Is there any chance guys like this start the season at least on the PUP list, the physically unable to perform list?
I think Andrew Corliss is probably a lock for that, especially when you have so many other tight ends there. I mean, that's a pretty easy decision. Having that severe knee injury late in the year, Derek Sherrod's kind of a mystery, and that'll be really interesting to see where he's at. You know, Mike McCarthy was really optimistic with Sherrod and Alex Green back at minicamp and OTAs. It's been a while since then, so let's see how they recover. I think that Alex Green has a good shot at getting back. You know, every time we catch up with him, it seems like it's just gone better than it was the last time we talked. So he's running, he's cutting, he's doing a lot of the things he has to do, and he did it all back at minicamp. So I think that he's in pretty good shape. Sherrod's a question mark, and Corliss probably does start on that pup list.
Tyler, thank you very much for joining us today. We appreciate the time you're taking out of your schedule to do this. Are you ready for the grind to begin? The football season starting pretty much today.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's just great to get back in that routine. And you're right. I mean, it does seem like we were just here a year ago, but definitely ready to get after it.
Sounds good. Thanks a lot, Tyler. We'll talk to you again sometime.
Alrighty, Brian. Thanks a lot, man.
Take care. Tyler Dunn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joining us here on Railbird Central this morning, talking some Packers football, getting the football season kicked off and underway. Players report today. I think they actually reported last night. They were checking into. I saw reports of them checking into the dorms at St. Norbert College, staying overnight there. But yeah, they had physicals this morning beginning at 6 a.m. So depending upon how many they get through, they're taking place right now as we speak, perhaps. So, and Mike McCarthy coming up in less than, well, not less than, a little more than 1 hour away. To talk about the 2012 Green Bay Packers in his season opening press conference, or training camp opening press conference, at least. So, be a lot of interesting stuff to talk about today. In particular, I think, you know, it's interesting to look at the, as we were just talking about before, the guys who were on injured reserve last year, Alex Green, Derek Sherrod, Andrew Corliss, what's going to happen to them? How are they going to start off the season? How much are they going to be able to participate? You know, a lot of times the Packers bring along these guys slowly. Well, it might be, I agree with Ty Dunn. He says Andrew Corliss, almost a lock for the pup list. And I would have to agree. I wouldn't be surprised at all if that happens in the next day, two, whatever, that you see his name added to that list. Now, but for guys like perhaps Alex Green, Derek Sherrod, who are maybe a little bit further along in their recovery from their injuries, you know, they might participate in training camp, but it could be a situation where they're not participating fully. You know, they're taking part not in contact drills or things like that. They're warming up, or, you know, they'll do the run-throughs but nothing else, things like that. So we'll see what's in store for them. You know, whether or not Mike McCarthy has the answer to those questions in just a little over an hour, we don't know. Or, you know, maybe physicals won't be fully done yet, or even if they are, maybe he hasn't gotten that information from the doctors. So I don't know if that's going to come down the pike or not today, but it will be shortly. At least by tomorrow we'll be finding out. They start practice tomorrow, Thursday, 8:15 a.m. I'll be there, in fact, folks, bringing you my thoughts from training camp in Green Bay. Packers training camp practice. So excited to be doing that Thursday and Friday. I'll be there live and in person watching training camp. So excited to do that. How exciting is it? Exciting time of year here with the start of training camp, yesterday being the shareholders meeting, shareholders all going to Lambeau Field yesterday, getting to see for the first time the new video boards installed. And that's definitely a cool thing to see, something they spent a lot of money on, and something that was needed, though, I think. You know, I think in today's day and age, those old video boards, the old scoreboard there at Lambeau Field, you know, not really exactly high quality, and while they got the job done, I think it is great to have nice high-definition video boards. I think that's it does enhance the experience and something that the fans can look forward to seeing and that they deserve to see there at Lambeau Field. Certainly you can make the argument, a place like, you know, if you ever go to a football game at Notre Dame, There's no video scoreboards there. They go old school. And while there's something to be said for that, you know, they're basically the only one. You know, you look at major colleges, major NFL teams, Notre Dame is just about the only place doing that. So it's not like the Packers are totally going against the grain here and installing these huge, large video boards. So I think they're cool. I like watching replays, things like that. And so, you know, I get behind that. You know, yesterday, the Packers are the owners of the Packers, the shareholders, learning just how well financially the Packers are doing right now. You know, they're bringing in money hand over fist because of, you know, solid financial practices, solid investments, things they're doing to bring in money like the stock sale, but not just stopping there. You know, they set records for income, revenue, profit, in terms of, you know, the financial reports, the treasurer reports given away yesterday, record Hall of Fame attendance, record Lambeau Field tours, you name it. I mean, the Packers are doing things right, and fans are obviously, you know, showing that they like it with their dollar, you know, their hard-earned money. They're saying that the Packers are, you know, will support this. They're not withholding their money from the Packers. And obviously the Packers are in one of the best, you know, teams in the best shape in the NFL in terms like that. I mean, your 90-year waiting list or whatever it is, absolutely incredible and something that shouldn't come as news to anyone. Yesterday, perhaps, you know, the one kind of weird thing about yesterday is the Packers added 250,000 new shareholders. I don't know about everybody, but at least I did. And I think a lot of people were in agreement with me, though, that there would be a lot more people at Lambeau Field for yesterday's shareholders meeting. You know, they were talking about how they were getting ready for a crowd of 50,000. At least that's what the bowl of Lambeau Field holds. And they were getting ready to, you know, just show that, you know, and host them if it came to that. Well, it didn't even come close to 50,000. The Packers had 12,500 about. And while that's big, I mean, there was thought that, you know, they would at least, you know, probably exceed the 18,000 that they had during the largest shareholders meeting back in 1998, the last time the Packers had a stock sale. And there appears to be several reasons for this. I mean, number one, it just fell on a Tuesday morning in the, you know, kind of the beginning of the work week when a lot of people can't take off work, things like that. There were no guests this year. Just because there were so many new shareholders, they did not allow you to bring a guest. So that perhaps maybe deterred people as well. And people just not having the money to do all these Packers-related things, you know. Maybe they attend training camp practice. Maybe they attend family night. Maybe they attend a preseason game, regular season game, you name it. You know, you can only attend so many things. You can't attend them all. And so people have to pick and choose, at least those with limited incomes like myself. So I can't blame people for doing that. But I think you'll see last year, and I believe Mark Murphy commented on this as well, the Packers aren't going to limit you to zero guests next year for the shareholders meeting. So if that kept you away and you wanted to bring friends and family along, and who can blame you? I would want to too. You can do that. So anticipate 2013. You can bring your family, you can bring your friends, you can have a good time, you can tailgate at the shareholders meeting next year, and maybe it won't be on a Tuesday. Of course, this year they had to push it up a little because the Packers had to start their training camp slightly earlier with their first preseason game coming on a Thursday this year. So anyhow, here on Railbird Central, we kind of do a pre-training camp position preview of all the positions on the team. We got through the entire offense last week. We're starting our defense this week. We talked about the defensive linemen on Monday, And today I want to talk about the outside linebackers kind of here for the rest of the show. Getting to Nick's question on our live blog, though, he asked, do they have a number of how many of us watched online? Yes, the Packers had said 21,000 people watched the shareholders meeting online. So if you do combine the online audience with the in-person audience, it was the largest shareholders meeting in team history. You know, I mean, the online audience alone would have met that. But yeah, so 21,000, that's a good thing. I'm glad the Packers offered that for fans, for shareholders to be able to do. And I was among them. I was watching online, not in person yesterday, as I'm, you know, we'll be heading to Green Bay later this week. So, but anyhow, you know, getting back to the outside linebackers here, doing our preview, you know, you got to start with a guy like Clay Matthews, who kind of had a down year last year, comparatively at least, to his first two seasons in the NFL, where he had double-digit sacks each year. You know, his rookie year, he has 10 sacks. His second year in the NFL, the Super Bowl year, he has like 12 and a half, I think, you know, or 13 and a half. Yeah, a great production from Clay Matthews. And, you know, I still think he did play very well last year, but the issue was there was nobody to take any pressure off of him. You know, there was nobody on that other side of the line, or the other side of the defense, that could take pressure away from him. And so opposing offenses could focus on Clay Matthews. They could double team him, even triple team him if they had to, and really stop him cold. And you know, I think Clay Matthews still did a lot of good things, probably maybe at his best season in coverage ever. At least, you know, he intercepted, what, three passes last year, had some batted balls, you know, forced several fumbles. Even though maybe the sacks were down, he was still making impact plays in other phases of the game. But I think this year the Packers, you know, they tried to address that situation where they had nobody to take off pressure on, off of him. And, of course, in the first round, they take Nick Perry of USC, you know, and he's been inserted into the starting lineup from day one. They're putting him over at the left outside linebacker position, moving Clay Matthews back over to the right side. And, you know, doing it without hesitation, you know, even without seeing Nick Perry in the offseason program, they insert him to the starting lineup, and you can't blame them. I mean, they weren't all that good last year with guys like Eric Walden, Frank Zombo, you name it, getting chances, Brad Jones, and none of them really doing all that much with it. So they insert Nick Perry, and the question with Nick Perry is, I mean, can he make the transition from college defensive end, who played in a three-point stance, a guy with his hand in the dirt, to a stand-up outside linebacker? The guy's 270 pounds. So can he handle that? Can he play in space? Can he cover? These are all things we're going to be watching. Starting tomorrow, training camp practice tomorrow, going to be having an eye on Nick Perry, see how he does with these kind of things. Because, of course, you know, he's going to be a big key to success, how the Packers do this year, if he can be a big contributing member of the Packers defense. But if he shows he's not ready to be out there yet, you know, that's going to be an issue. It's going to be tough for the Packers defense to improve. You know, who do they have behind these guys now? We have to look at, you know, we can look at the leftovers from last year. There's a guy like Eric Walden who played okay at times. He could, you know, has played good at times, but not really consistent on a consistent basis, was able to put pressure on the quarterback. Of course, there was the issue where he got arrested last year for a domestic dispute with, I believe, his live-in girlfriend. Not a good situation there. And, you know, it's something that hasn't lingered, at least. He's shown to be remorseful, at least publicly and in interviews, and that's all good. But I think the Packers can do better than that. So, I mean, I would think most people, at least they hope and anticipate Nick Perry will be better than a guy like Eric Walden. Can Eric Walden still make the team? I don't know. He's the type of guy who they might cut, perhaps. You know, another guy from last year, Frank Zombo. Wow, I mean, how much has Frank Zombo fell off the face of the planet to an extent? I mean, a lot of it has to do with injuries. He suffered some annoying injuries last year. He broke his scapula during training camp, ended up having some, what is it, knee issues when he came back. And, you know, it's not totally his fault in terms of just being limited because of health. But, I mean, still, here's a guy who was started a lot during his rookie year, had the big sack of Ben Roethlisberger in the Super Bowl, but just really, you know, since that time, you know, all of last year, really didn't do that much. Even when he was out on the field, he didn't do that much. So, again, you think the Packers can do better, and you hope Nick Perry can do better. And Frank Zombo's in, you know, very much the same boat as Eric Walden in terms of questionable whether he makes the roster or not, the 53-man roster. I can't say with certainty he's going to. There's a lot of younger guys on the team that might by chance be better. You know, one of the guys making headlines during the offseason program was an undrafted rookie, Desmond Moses out of Tulane. He seems to have caught people by surprise. You know, Clay Matthews just was kind of held out of practice from time to time here with a hamstring issue and nothing serious. But when Clay Matthews went out during the offseason program, Desmond Moses went in, was working with the starters. We're talking about an undrafted rookie playing with the starters, the first string. That's impressive that the coaches think that much of him that they would insert him right away. And Desmond Moses, he was a guy who originally played at the University of Iowa, ended up, you know, getting to a little bit of, I don't know if it was academic trouble there. There was some issue, ended up transferring, nothing huge, big, but has some issues, transfers to Tulane, plays defensive end there as well, but has that background at linebacker, though. So, there's hope there that Desmond Moses will fall back on those habits he perhaps learned at Iowa in Big Ten play. And, it defies the odds and makes the team. And, you know, just based upon the confidence the coaching staff showed in him during the offseason, I say he's a good chance to make the roster. I mean, a lot has to play out. They talk about underwear warriors during the offseason. There's no contact, no hitting, no pads. We see this week, starting tomorrow, what a guy like Desmond Moses is really made of. Nick comments on the live blog, if the D-line play is better, then Perry and Clay will have good years. And true. I mean, certainly, we look at the linebackers, the outside linebackers here in isolation, but I mean, it's one cohesive unit. If the D-line plays better, if the secondary plays better, it's only going to help everybody else do better on the team as well. So, absolutely. Absolutely. Another guy, remember a year ago, all the attention a guy like Vic Sooto had garnered. He comes through in the preseason, plays great in the Packers preseason games. You know, didn't he have a game with multiple sacks or things like that? And, you know, he played really well in games. The Packers never gave him much of a shot during the regular season, kind of saying he was, you know, really raw yet unrefined. Another guy who was a defensive lineman in college trying to make the transition to outside linebacker. But of course, fans saw what he did in the preseason and, you know, thought maybe that would carry over to the regular season, be able to do the same things, be a sack artist or what have you. And, it's going to be interesting to see how much Vic Sooto has improved in, you know, a year's time here. He's had the benefit of being part of a full offseason program. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what he's got. I think he can make the team and be the backup to a guy like Nick Perry. I think their body size, you know, former defensive lineman is going to be very similar. He can be the the I think as they call it, the elephant defensive end. You know, the guy who lines up on the left side is big enough to handle the run, withstand the run. And I'm looking forward to what Vic Soto has this year. You know, very much looking forward to see what he's got. I think he can make the team. Hopefully he can contribute to special teams as well. Because if you're going to be a backup linebacker, you better contribute to special teams. Not something Vic Soto did a lot last year. Did a little. But has to make a bigger contribution there if he's going to make the 53-man roster. You know, kind of interesting also what the Packers did this offseason. They have some guys like Jamari Lattimore and Brad Jones. They kind of moved both those guys to inside linebacker for the majority of the offseason program, but they're also getting some time still at outside linebacker. Both those guys, I think, have the ability to be a swing linebacker, I think. You know, in a pinch, they can play outside, they can play inside, whatever. A guy like Rob Francois fits into that same category as well. You know, I think all those guys, Rob Francois, Brad Jones, Jamari Lattimore, there might be a job for one of them on the Packers 53-man roster. Just because of their versatility and, you know, maybe all those guys are able to play on special teams as well. I know Brad Jones has been a good member on special teams, so he's got that working in his favor. So be interesting to see how they go about, you know, do they keep one of those swing outside linebackers and who among them sticks out? Is it Brad Jones? Is it Jamari Lattimore? Is it Rob Francois? We will see. So, I mean, there's your outside linebackers for the Green Bay Packers. Did I touch on everyone? And, yeah, I mean, again, I mean, my excitement is just palpable here getting ready for football season, as it is always this time of year. If you're a football junkie, I mean, this is the best time of the year. It's like spring training and baseball. And perhaps it's disappointing that maybe the Milwaukee Brewers, if you're a Wisconsin sports fan, haven't been quite as good this year as they were last year. But, you know, the whole state of Wisconsin, the Brewers are doing so poor. Attention's going to turn to the Packers here pretty quickly with the start of training camp. And I wish the Brewers the best. But it looks like, you know, there's going to be a lot of attention on Packers training camp here. And rightfully so. Expectations are high for the Packers. And hopefully this outside linebacker group can help the defense as a whole. So that's all for today, folks. In fact, that's all for the week for Railbird Central. I'm going to head to training camp tomorrow and Friday. So in place of Railbird Central, I'm going to be covering from practice. Follow me on Twitter. Hopefully we'll have a live blog here at CheeseheadTV.com on the homepage following what's happening at practice as well. So we'll try to do all those things for you, for our fans, for our viewers, for our listeners. So make sure to check in there. We'll be back next week again with Railbird Central. So I'm trying to do as much as I can, folks, trying to help you out as fans, giving the information. So trying to do our part here, although it means taking a day off of Railbird Central on Friday. But that's all, folks. Thanks for joining us here on this Wednesday. On behalf of John Rahor, I'm Brian Kirivu. I leave you today with a song called Sometimes a River by String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. So we'll see you later, everyone. Go Pack, go.